Welcome to the Island Weekly. You're listening to the edition of the 28th of July, and I'm Anne Hodgson. Today I'd like to tell you about Khaled Hosseini, A Thousand Splendid Sons. When I first opened this book and started reading in the middle, there was so much brutality that I thought, no, there is no way I'm going to read this. But then I started properly at the beginning, and I fell in love with it from page to page. It's this marvelous type of book that is like a dream and pulls you in, because it's got this old way of storytelling that comes from the Orient, you know, that old tradition that had Scheherazade telling stories that kept her king interested and her alive for the 1001 nights. So this is a book to read if you're at all interested in the world out there. It's Hosseini's second book after The Kite Runner, and it takes you beneath the veil of the women of Afghanistan. And it gives you a pretty good idea of what life must have been like in the last 30 years. It was a pretty incredible time for Afghanistan, going through all those different regimes. The secular Great Sara Revolution of 1978, which brought land reform, religious freedom, and introduced women to public life, but got stuck in the Cold War as the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan to put an end to the US-funded Islamic resurgence. The Mujahideen famously won that long war in 1989, but then came the warlords and more killing. In 1996, the Taliban seized Kabul and introduced Islamic law. By 2000, they had captured almost all of Afghanistan. Under the Taliban's seven-year rule, women were banned from jobs and schools and public life, leading to their total economic and social dependence on their fathers and husbands. Hosseini's book presents in drastic and heartbreaking detail what that meant. These changes had a major impact on everybody's personal life. So this is the story of Mariam, a harami born out of wedlock and treated as an outcast. Her life is intertwined with that of Layla, born into a modern, educated family. Layla is much younger than Mariam, and as fate and circumstance throw them together, they develop a very interesting relationship. There are many men in this novel, and it's fascinating to see how they too are victimized by the regimes or take advantage of them, which results in their being corrupted and losing their humanity. Next to the pain and brutality, there is a magical love story, so the reader is richly rewarded. I'm going to read you a short passage from the first book, in which we find Mariam living as an outcast with her mother, but receiving regular visits by her father, whom she adores. You'll find a copy of those two pages attached to the Island Weekly. Mariam felt deserving of all the beauty and bounty that life had to give, and for this, Mariam loved Jalil. Jalil is the name of her father. Even if she had to share him. Jalil had three wives and nine children, nine legitimate children, all of whom were strangers to Mariam. He was one of Herat's wealthiest men. He owned a cinema, which Mariam had never seen, but at her insistence, Jalil had described it to her, and so she knew that the facade was made of blue and tan terracotta tiles, that it had private balcony seats and a trellised ceiling. Double-swinging doors opened into a tiled lobby, where posters of Hindi films were encased in glass displays. On Tuesdays, Jalil said one day, kids got free ice cream at the concession stand. Nana smiled demurely when he said this. She waited until he had left the kolba before snickering and saying, "The children of strangers get ice cream. What do you get, Mariam? Stories of ice cream." Nana is Mariam's mother. In addition to the cinema, Jalil owned land in Cardock, land in Farah, three carpet stores, a clothing shop, and a black 1956 Buick Roadmaster. He was one of Herat's best-connected men, friend of the mayor and the provincial governor. He had a cook, a driver, and three housekeepers. Nana had been one of the housekeepers until her belly began to swell. When that happened, Nana said, the collective gasp of Jalid's family sucked the air out of Herat. His in-laws swore blood would flow. The wives demanded that he throw her out. Nana's own father, who was a lowly stone carver in the nearby village of Guldaman, disowned her. Disgraced, he packed his things and boarded a bus to Iran, never to be seen or heard from again. Sometimes, Nana said early one morning as she was feeding the chickens outside the kolba, I wish my father had had the stomach to sharpen one of his knives and do the honorable thing. It might have been better for me. She tossed another handful of seeds into the coop, paused, and looked at Mariam. Better for you, too, maybe. It would have spared you the grief of knowing that you are what you are. But he was a coward, my father. He didn't have the deal, the heart for it. Jalil didn't have the deal either, Nana said, to do the honorable thing, to stand up to his family, to his wives and in-laws, and accept the responsibility for what he had done. Instead, behind closed doors, a face-saving deal had quickly been struck. The next day, he had made her gather her few things from the servants' quarters where she'd been living and sent her off. You know what he told his wives by way of defense? That I forced myself on him. That it was my fault. Didi, you see? This is what it means to be a woman in this world. Nana put down the bowl of chicken feed. She lifted Mariam's chin with a finger. Look at me, Mariam. Reluctantly, Mariam did. Nana said, learn this now, and learn it well, my daughter. Like a compass needle that points north, a man's accusing finger always finds a woman. Always. You remember that, Mariam. And so this story takes you through these two women's lives who attempt to make the best of seemingly impossible situations. It's that never-ending struggle that gives the story its life-affirming power. And Hosseini has dedicated the book to the women of Afghanistan. I recommend reading this book in English, the language it was written in. Hosseini moved to California in 1980 and is writing in what must be his second or third or fourth language, and he does it so wonderfully that it must be an inspiration for any learner of English. Another reason to read this book in English is that it is positively addictive, which will keep you hooked through to the end of its 450 pages. And when you're done, tell me how you liked it. Okay, enough for this week. If you like, come back next week and join me for more on the Island Weekly.